When I was about 16 years old and a new follower of Jesus Christ, I felt like I had fallen into a kind of dark hole. God's presence had been so real and alive to me, but then it seemed as though God had hidden his face from me. And in this dark and discouraging time, I received a message from someone, a note, with the words from the Bible in Romans 5 written on them, where the Apostle Paul says, "And not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering, because suffering leads to perseverance, and perseverance to character, and character to hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love in our hearts by his Holy Spirit." And while I still felt down as a teenager, those words, that card lifted me up. Some of you would know when I was a young adult, I went through a very painful relationship breakup. It was very difficult. And my mentor, Leighton Ford, sent me a copy of the book, The Inner Voice of Love, which is one of Henry Nouwen's published journals. And in this book, he describes about a very painful relationship breakup that he went through. And his words seemed to describe my own suffering. And so they brought me a sense of solace and some healing. You know, we're still in this strange COVID season. And some of us during this time are doing really well. But many of us have found this time to be difficult. Many of us have found it tough to be separated from friends and certain family members. Others of us have experienced sickness in this season. Some have lost jobs. And many of us have felt anxious as the future seems so uncertain. And today we're beginning a new sermon series on the one another calls of Scripture, where we're called by God to, for example, love one another, forgive one another, bear one another's burdens. And as we kick off this new sermon series today, we're going to be looking at Scripture's call, God's call upon us to encourage one another. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, the writer pens these words. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching." Now, these words were first penned to the followers of Jesus who were living in the first century. And they were going through dark and discouraging times. They felt unsettled as they were facing down persecution. They were also living in a time of economic uncertainty. Some of the followers of Jesus had lost their homes, their property, their animals because of their faith. And in these unsettling times, the writer to the Hebrews, as recorded in Scripture, says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage." And the word encourage in the Greek is the word parakaleo, and it means to come alongside and to call out and to exhort toward faith and hope. "And let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day," that is the day of Christ's return, "approaching." And in another part of the Bible, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, we read these words, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up." And during this unusual time, when we are being asked to physically distance from each other, let's remember that in the most fundamental and important ways, we are in fact connected. The law of entanglement in quantum physics states that relationship is the defining characteristic of everything in time and space. because of the pervasive nature of atomic particles, relationship exists even when we are physically distant. Because of the way atomic particles connect, even when we are physically separated and distant from one another, we are connected. Everything in the universe is linked. Everyone is connected. And before we learn this from quantum physics, we hear in Scripture that we are all part of one body of Christ. And so when one part of the body suffers, we all suffer. When one part rejoices, we all rejoice. We are all connected to each other. And if that is the case, when we respond to the call to encourage another and to build up another, not only are we bringing life to others, but we are also bringing life to ourselves. Sean Acor is a psychologist who has taught at Harvard. And when he works with his clients who want to start off their day right, he encourages them to write an email, an uplifting note to a coworker or someone in their world. And he says, when you write that note, of course, you not only strengthen your bond with that person, but you will feel better as dopamine and serotonin, the feel-good chemicals in your brain, are released. I think of Juliet's famous words in the balcony scene of Romeo and Juliet. She said, "My bounty is as boundless as the sea, and my love is deep. The more I give, the more I love, the more I have to give." You know, when you offer love to someone, kindness, encouragement, you'll have more love, kindness, and encouragement to give. That love will simply grow inside you. You won't be less, you will be more. And speaking of a love that is as boundless as the sea, if you want to be able to love like that, love and keep loving, because the more you love, the more love you'll have to give, but also make sure that you are connected to the infinite source of love, to the ocean of love, God's love. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 2, in a passage that my colleague Dan Matheson preached on during our recent sermon series on joy, Paul writes these words, "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same mindset, the same purpose." And then he says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, value others above yourself. Each of you should look out not only for your own interests, but also to the interest of others." Paul is saying, look, if you have had any encouragement from being connected to Jesus Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any friendship with the Holy Spirit, then share that love that you have received with others. And I hope, especially during this COVID season, you will take time in the mornings to sit in God's presence, or in the evening to sit or walk or run in the presence of God, and to receive his love freely offered so that you can offer it, so that you can give encouragement to those around you. In the mornings, as some of you know, I take some time to sit in silent meditation. Each morning, especially now that the pool that I used to go to is closed, I will run. This morning I was running through the sacred space of the UBC Endowment Lands. I saw a couple of you out there. And I seek to receive something of the ocean of God's love so that I can offer that love and encouragement to others. And when you and I are filled with some of the ocean, some of the water of God's love, we will spill over that love. I don't want to pour too much of this water out on the stage to others. You get the picture. And so let us be connected to the source of infinite love, God, and then offer that love and encouragement to others. And as we love, we will find that we have more love to give. Even as a young adult, in some way, I intuited this truth. And so if I was feeling discouraged and down, one of the things I knew would lift me up, and it sounds sort of selfish, but it made sense to me. I knew that if I reached out and encouraged someone else through my words or through a small gift or through financial support, I would feel uplifted. And when we are feeling down and sort of depressed, it's easy to become self-absorbed and to curl in on ourselves. And yet, paradoxically, one of the most life-giving things we can do for ourselves and others is to offer love and encouragement. And this is why the writer to the Hebrews there in the first century says, during these hard and discouraging times, during these uncertain days, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day of Christ's return approaching. The writer says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Now, during COVID, obviously, we're being encouraged to maintain physical distance with others, but we can still get together using the phone or FaceTime or Zoom. And I'm deeply thankful that during this unusual season, many of our life groups continue to meet online, that we continue to offer courses and soul trios online, that new groups are forming. And one of the reasons why the writer to the Hebrews says, let us not give up meeting together, is because the writer knows that as we come together, whether it's in person or online, we have the opportunity to practice the spiritual discipline of giving encouragement and receiving it. And giving encouragement and receiving it is a kind of spiritual practice, and we can get better at it as we engage in it. Now, some people find it very difficult to offer loving encouragement. They feel embarrassed and awkward when they try to give it. But this is something that we can learn to do with practice and with God's help. I remember when I was in grade 3 or grade 4, our family was living in Coquitlam. And every once in a while, my grandmother would give my siblings and me a cash gift. And I remember my mom saying that before you spend that money, you need to write your grandma a thank you note. And so I remember being in grade 3 or grade 4 and sitting at the kitchen table, not knowing what to write. And it just felt like such a long, long time trying to figure out how to thank my grandmother for this cash gift that she had given me. But I was being trained in showing appreciation. And then when we were a little older, my dad would drive us kids somewhere, there were 5 kids in our family, in our old blue van. And as we'd be pulling into our carport back home, my mom would turn to us and say, now would be a good time to thank God for taking you, thank Dad, maybe we thought he was God, but to thank Dad for taking us out. And again, we were being trained to express appreciation and to offer some encouragement to our dad for driving us around. Some people find it difficult to offer encouragement to others. Others find it difficult to receive encouragement from others. And so one of the great gifts of being in a small group, a life group, of being in friendships, of having healthy relationships with certain family members, of being in a spiritual direction relationship, having a counselor perhaps, is that we can learn to receive the gift of encouragement. Dr. Hilary McBride is a friend of mine. She's a very respected therapist here in Vancouver. And as you may recall, she spoke at one of our recent services as we were discussing the theme of joy in every circumstance. And Hilary was sharing with me at another time that there are people that she spends, say, a year with in therapy. And she is telling them throughout that year or longer, this is how I feel about you. And this time, I want you to hold my gaze just a little bit longer. And sometimes people just can't make eye contact at first. And she says, as they work together, these people will be able to hold the gaze just a little bit longer. And Hilary will say, look, if you feel just overwhelmed, you're free, of course, to avert your gaze. But she says, maybe after a year or so, people who otherwise couldn't make eye contact are able to hold my gaze for several minutes. And she says, learning to receive affirmation is a little bit like picking up a 5-pound dumbbell and working out. And you exercise for a while, you eventually can pick up a 10-pound dumbbell and keep exercising, and then eventually maybe a 20-pound dumbbell. Through exercise, we can become more able to receive affirmation from people. Through exercise, we can also expand our capacity to hold love and to give love and encouragement to others. I know a lot of people, or I've talked to a lot of people across the years, who tell me it's difficult to receive God's love and encouragement directly because God is invisible. But when a person feels really seen by someone else, that person can say, oh, that is how God sees me. Or when a person feels deeply loved by someone else, that person can say, oh, that is how God loves me. And we can become like the face of God to one another as we receive love from each other and as we offer encouragement to each other. And so as we go through our days, let us pray that we would have the grace, the humility, and the confidence to receive affirmation and love as though from the very face of God. And let us pray that we would have the desire and the energy to offer God's love and encouragement to others, whether it's through our presence, through our words, through our gaze, through some act of service, and if it's appropriate, through the gift of touch. And with God's help, as we go through our lives, we can be receiving and giving the gift of love and encouragement to one another. I pray that in my own life, I'm able to do this. You know, before COVID-19 hit, my wife and I were planning a little reno in the upstairs of our home. The carpet hadn't been changed since the time the house was built, which we think was about 30 years ago. And so before COVID hit, we had secured some hardwood on sale. And then COVID came, and so we delayed the little reno. And just recently, we had our contractor hire an installer, and the project was done. And as you know, even little home renos can be really frustrating. Deadlines can be missed. There can be scope and cost creep, but this little reno went really, really well. And so we expressed our appreciation to the contractor, the installer, the supplier, and they all asked us if we would give them references. And one of them asked if I would write a Google reference for them, which I was glad to do. At the end of this strange year, we were especially grateful for some people that we know through our public school. And so my wife and I sat down and wrote some notes of gratitude. And we received a message back from one of Joey's teachers. And this is what she wrote. In response, she said, "I treasure those words more than anything, and I will hold them dear and carry them with me all of my life. I treasure those words more than anything, and I will hold them dear, and I will carry them with me all of my life." Sometimes a word of encouragement will last longer than we dare imagine. And every once in a while, a word of encouragement may actually alter the course of a person's life. During the summer between my grade 11 and grade 12 year, our family went to a Christian summer camp in the state of Washington, in Bellingham, on Lake Whatcom, called the Firs. And the speaker that week was an Argentinian missionary evangelist named Luis Palau. And at the time, I was planning there, as I was heading into grade 11, to one day go to university and to study business economics and to pursue a career in the corporate world, which I did and continue to feel is an honorable vocation. But at the end of that week, Luis Palau, this man from Argentina, turned to my dad and he said, "I think the hand of God is on your son." Now, my dad tells me that that was the first time he had ever heard anyone speak well of me. And so it was really memorable for him and he passed it on to me. And later, Luis wrote me a note, a short note. And he said, "If God ever puts it on your heart to do the work of vocational Christian ministry, I would encourage you to pursue it by every door God opens to you." And those words of encouragement would prove to change the direction of my life. And sometimes a simple word of encouragement can literally alter someone's course. And on some occasions, a word of encouragement or simple acknowledgement can actually save a life. Gordon Smith, as some of you would know, is the president of our denominational university in Calgary, Ambrose University. He's also a gifted speaker and writer on the spiritual life. He lives in Calgary, but he actually retains his church membership right here at 10th in Vancouver. So when he's in town, which is every once in a while, he'll contact me and ask if we can get together and chat. On our most recent visit, which was actually before COVID, I remember Gordon telling me a story about how he had just heard someone tell their story as part of a speech about how they had tried to take their life by committing suicide. Obviously, the person survived to be able to tell the story. And Gordon said this man was saying that he had gone to the Golden Gate Bridge, stood over the water, and he had jumped off the bridge into the water, and upon impact had blacked out. He doesn't remember what happened after he hit the water. But there were people that were watching him jump. And they later said, "We saw a seal, yeah, a seal in the water, push your limp body to the shore." A seal, people said, actually saved your life. And this man said, "I had been so discouraged and so down and depressed that I was planning to end my life. In the morning I was planning to take my own life, I said to myself in my home in San Francisco, if as I walk to the bus stop, if someone greets me, or if I'm on one of the buses that will take me closer to the Golden Gate Bridge, someone simply greets me and acknowledges me. Or if as I get off the final bus and walk to the actual bridge, someone waves at me and says hello, I promise that I will not jump. I promise that I won't take my life." He made this pact with himself. But as he walked from his home to the bus stop, as he rode the buses, and as he walked from the final bus stop to the Golden Gate Bridge, not a single person greeted him or acknowledged him, and so he jumped. But his life was amazingly spared through a seal. And our friend Gordon Smith said, When I heard him say that, I said to myself, I will never not greet someone when I'm walking by them on the street or in some public place. There will be times when it will seem awkward and weird, but I will acknowledge them because it just might save their life. I close with the words of Étienne de Grillet. She was a Quaker missionary who wrote these words. I shall pass this way but once. Any good I can do, any kindness I can show to any human being, let me do it now. Let me not delay or defer it, for I shall not pass this way again. We pass this way but once, she says. If there's any good or any kindness I can show to any human being, let me do it now. Let me not defer or neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again. Let's pray together. Let me ask you, as we're in a spirit of prayer, have you received any encouragement at all from being united with Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any sense of life from the Holy Spirit? If so, would you receive that deeply? Would you drink of that love? And as Étienne de Grillet encourages us, would you realize afresh that you will pass through this life but once? And so if you have an opportunity this day, this week, to offer a kindness, to offer an encouragement, will you resolve to not delay it, but to offer it? For you shall not pass this way again. And as you offer the encouragement of God, may you experience his love welling up with you, welling up within you, with more and more abundance. May it be like a spring of living water seeping up through you and nourishing your soul and the world. Amen.